And now it's time for the TOT Cast with your hosts, Chris Okranitz, Natea J, and Ryan Greco.
And welcome back to this week's TOT Cast. I'm your host, Ryan Greco, and of course, joining me is Chris Okranitz and Natea J. If you ever want to get at the show, you be sure to reach out to us at Tip of the Tower on Twitter. If you have a question for me, reach out to me at Ryan Greco 416. You can reach out to Chris at Chris Okranitz. And always be sure to hit up Natea at TEY11_. That is TEY11_. And always be sure to like our Facebook page.
Gentlemen, it's good to see you guys again. How's the last couple of days been treating both of you, Chris?
I'm pretty good, you know, uneventful, just working and stuff. Can't really complain too much, as boring as that sounds. Mr. Nate, how's the gym? How's off-season?
Pretty good, yeah. Off-season officially on the way. Started training, body sore as hell, but can't complain. Love it. But one thing I can't complain is the weather. I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's been freezing outside. Feels like a deep, frozen tundra out there, and
it's not that bad.
Honestly, it's bad. You know, I got African blood, and this cold isn't for me.
Well, Chris pretty much basically has African blood. He hates the cold.
Yeah, I might as well, man. I'm not about the cold once.
He is the coldest white guy I've ever met. This temperature, he doesn't do well. He doesn't do well.
Hey, my skin cracks too, you know, when it gets cold out. All right, I gotta buy lotion by like the bottle, so I'm definitely not a fan of it.
Oh my gosh.
But with it being 2016, a new year, this is kind of a gigantic year in Toronto sports, or could be at least.
I mean,
you look at a lot of things that are coming up here in the city. The Raptors got the NBA All-Star game. On top of that, they have the lower pick between the Knicks and the Nuggets, which could also help shape their future, plus their own pick in that draft. You got free agency with DeMar DeRozan coming up, and then Kevin Durant's also a free agent. You look at the Blue Jays, I mean, what else can I say? Building off last year's success. Mm-hmm. Expectations have never been higher since 92-93. It's a big year for them. Then you got the Leafs having their centennial season. I mean, 100-year anniversary for one of the most storied franchises in all sports. Potentially the Winter Classic, the World Cup of Hockey. Free agency with Steven Stamkos. There's just a number of storylines for the Leafs. And then you got the Argos, Mr. Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Grey Cup's coming to town this year.
BMO Field's opening up.
Have you seen any renovations at BMO Field at all? It looks pretty nice so far.
Yeah, I've driven by it a few times on there on Lakeshore. And, you know, it's coming about pretty nicely. It looks like it's going to be epic. That's all I can say.
Well, I mean, when you add in everything that's happening in Toronto sports, is it not a gigantic year, 2016?
Now that you've alerted me to that, it's pretty monumental. Pretty much every team you talk about has something major going on, and it's gonna be interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm excited. 2016 is a big year for Toronto.
Well, when you think about it, a lot of teams, they're not only their current state, but their future state of the franchises can alter the season.
Yeah.
You got the Raptors with. The All-Star Game is basically a gigantic pitch for them to show off Toronto.
Exactly. Yep.
Because things that can happen afterwards from there, whether it be Durant or another free agent.
You got your best player going into free agency.
Yeah.
Right.
And he can kind of, we all know how the Super Friends League works, right, where they're going to talk amongst each other and he could potentially lure somebody to come to Toronto.
Right. Or someone can lure him.
Yeah. And, you know, it could work both ways.
Right.
It could.
But then you take in the draft pick, too. That can also help shape their future.
Yeah. I like the Nuggets are struggling right now, so I like the way that's going. I don't know if it's a terribly deep or
it's not a deep draft.
No.
It's top heavy.
No. It's got that one guy, Ben Simmons. But other than that, I haven't heard too much about anybody else. To be able to say it's a deep draft.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, if Denver keeps falling down, then, we could be lucky enough. Because we get the worst of those two picks.
So, Denver's not terribly good right now.
No, but if the Knicks, let's say the Knicks finish 10th in the East.
Yeah,
and the Nuggets finish 13th in the West.
Yeah.
The Nuggets would keep that pick, and we would get the Knicks pick.
Oh, so I got you.
You kind of want the Knicks and the Nuggets
both
to be garbage.
Yes.
It's like hot garbage.
So
that would be
one
of the
get
top
the
five.
Best out of those two. Like the best record out of those.
Yeah, it's different the way you, like how you describe it.
Yeah.
Basically, we get the worst of the two picks.
The worst pick. I got you. I thought you meant the worst record.
So we essentially get less ping pong.
I got you.
See, this sounds.
It's going to be better than our pick anyway, because we're better than Denver and we're better than New York. So.
But the fact that they're going to have two first rounders,
they might be able to package that off.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a possibility.
We'll see. A lot of things can happen.
It saddens me, though, because, like, you know, things aren't looking good as far as the Knicks being a bad team, because they've already, as on the day of this recording, they've already matched their win total from last season.
Yeah. But think about it. They're one Carmelo injury away from being a worse team.
Are they?
They are.
I think so. Like, not terrible, but...
And you see, you know, Carmelo's track record. He's, you know, a couple spicy fries away from, you know, losing. I'm just kidding.
From the whole combo, you're saying.
He's...
Essentially.
He's not terribly durable, so we'll see what happens with that.
Well, it's a big year also for the Blue Jays in a sense where expectations are extremely high, like we were saying.
They are.
And a lot of people are expecting a World Series run again.
I am.
And if that if that happens, I mean, there's another team that, boom, their whole entire franchise changes. Yep. Then you go to the Leafs, it's 100 years.
Yep.
Not only are they getting every single event in hockey, they actually have a shot to start to build a progressive team towards being a winner.
Yeah.
You get the draft
coming. You lie, Chris.
No, they're going to be good in 2 or 3 years. I'll bet whatever people want to bet on that.
Yeah.
But they're going to get like another high pick. Stamkos is going to be a free agent, and there's a lot more rumblings that him coming to Toronto is a real thing. And I mean,
he's got to be encouraged by seeing the way the team's playing right now.
It's very true.
He's got to be encouraged.
Well, Tampa's got a lot of issues.
Tampa's got issues.
Not just issues on the ice. I mean, financially, they have guys like Hedman, Kucherov, Tyler Johnson, Andre Palat, a lot of their core players, they got to re-sign.
Mm-hmm.
And all that money has to come from somewhere in a hard salary cap era like the NHL. You just can't. It's not a soft cap like the NBA where you can kind of exceed it with bird rights and other loopholes and stuff to maintain this team. In the NHL, is much like the NFL. Either you make these guys fit or you let one of them walk.
Right.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to keep everybody in place is to probably let Stamkos walk, use that
so
money
you
to sign
keep
all
the
of
most
them.
Amount of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is going to hurt them.
And it's going to hurt them, but the team is that good. It's that talented. You know, this is a team that was making the Cup Finals run just a few seasons ago.
They're struggling this year, though.
There you go.
They're struggling this year.
Well, they almost got shuttered again on the night we were recording this by the Flames. And, I mean, I think that's the 8th or 9th time this season that they have almost been shut out. With a team with that much talent, that just can't happen.
So you're saying the worse that they play, the more likely Stamkos is coming to Toronto.
I mean, there's some people I've talked to that are firmly believing that he's coming to Toronto no matter what. Just because the money is going to be right.
Yeah.
He's not going to make more money anywhere else unless Tampa decides to break the bank and say, screw it, you're our guy. Take us to the promised land. Endorsement money alone, much like the basketball players where it's like LeBron, Durant, a lot of the premier Nike guys you see in Nike basketball, their endorsement deals double when they play in a major market. It's very similar with Nike hockey. And let's face it, there's no bigger market in hockey than Toronto. I don't care what anybody says, it's the biggest hockey market.
And he's already, you can see his face plastered over almost anything that he signs to as far as endorsement deals go.
Yeah, the Leafs need somebody like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, before we get too much into Stamkos talk, he can change the entire franchise again in 2016, which would be the Leafs as a whole just altering. Then you got the Argos with the Grey Cup playing the BMO Field.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team, as you know, Nate, the health of the CFL is always a hotly debated topic. Is the league financially stable? Some say yes, some say no. It's really subjective in my opinion. I mean, there's so many different routes you go with the CFL being healthy or not, but one of the things that they're really hoping for is that with stable ownership group in Toronto now and a new field, there's so many things that are on the up and up with Toronto that they're kind of hoping that it will reciprocate across the CFL because, let's face it, a lot of the TV stations are based here in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
The CFL, the TV deals is what's going to keep the league alive.
Yeah.
So if the Argos have success, it's going to reflect on the rest of the league.
Absolutely.
That's the way it's going to work.
And you look across the league and, you know, Toronto's getting a new stadium, but a lot of teams are also having new stadiums too. Like you look at Hamilton, they just built a new stadium last year.
Winnipeg a couple years ago.
So I would say only Montreal, Calgary, Edmonton, and...
BC got an upgrade,
and that's about it. Those three teams don't have, you know, newer type stadiums. So you look across the league, 9 teams all have relatively new stadiums.
Ottawa,
pretty healthy.
Yep.
Well, if this BMO Field experiment, I'll call it experiment for now because it's mostly based for TFC. The Argos are going in their first year, but if this works, you'll see places like Montreal that need a new stadium build one a lot faster
because
they'll look at the Argos as kind of this test rat, per se. It's a blueprint test rat where it's like, hey, we can make a multi-venue place.
Right.
Yep.
It's not only going to house just football, but soccer as well.
Yep.
And we're going to make a profit out of it.
If anybody can do it, it's going to be an MLS seat.
100%.
And the thing, you can even make the argument. You can even make the argument that Montreal could build an even bigger building or build a bigger stadium.
They could with the way the Montreal Impact draws.
Absolutely, yeah, because they do well for themselves at the Olympic Stadium. But anyway, moving forward.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, when you take into all of the different possibilities in 2016, I got three burning questions for you guys. That's just been eating my mind up a little bit here. The first one is obviously with this being such a year of showcasing the city of Toronto as a whole. Especially for teams like the Raptors. Do you feel that people around the league or players, coaches, just people in sports in general, will their perception of Toronto change following this year?
I think it's already changed, first off, even given from the last couple of years, especially. Let's not kid ourselves. Drake signing on and putting his kind of stamp and him becoming as the successful pop icon that he's turned himself into has had a huge help in the Raptors' image. You know, that was a bit of a bet, and it paid off well. So you know, that's already started bringing the Raptors a little bit more face time that they never would have gotten beforehand. I definitely think though there's still a long way to go, and I think a successful NBA All-Star Weekend is only going to help them as far as getting them onto the more the national scale, as far as the as far as getting a little bit more, I guess you could say, respect in the American media. At the end of the day, though, they still have to win and they have to be incredibly competitive. Oklahoma City is not a city that's talked about as much as they are because of how great of a city Oklahoma is. It's there because the Oklahoma City Thunder are a talented team that have one or two of the best players. They are a small market team. Otherwise, no one would have a word to say about them.
Yep.
It's the same reason why almost nobody talks. Now, it's easy to talk about the big franchise. New York Knicks is always going to get talked about. Los Angeles Lakers is always going to talk about, no matter how good or bad they are. But small market teams, it's as annoying as it is that the Raptors are a huge media market in their own right. They're the fourth largest in North America at this point?
Yep.
Yet, you know, because we're not American, it's just not going to get the same kind of push.
Yeah, we get frowned.
We're a small market team in their eyes in that sense. We get treated as such as far as coverage goes. This team stays successful and competitive. That's what's going to get us the most exposure and change the perspective of a lot of people in the league. Much in the same way that they did when they were competitive, making it to the second round with Vince Carter back in 2001. That was when a lot of people knew who exactly the Raptors were.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of curious, because you see even national analysts or pundits like Charles Barkley, Jalen Rose, these guys rave about Toronto.
Yep.
And Toronto's notoriously known for being kind of a trap town for players. They'll come here in between their travel games, they play in Toronto, they go out, they party.
Yep.
They love this place. It's one of the better cities and arguably one of the best kept secrets. Like, you could ask players during the road, like, here, Natea, I'd ask you, would you rather travel to Toronto on a road game or go to like Milwaukee on like a Tuesday night? Come on, it's a no-brainer.
And I'll take it even a step further. Guys, you know, coming from the States and coming to Toronto playing the CFL, guys end up staying here, you know, for moving their families up here and staying up here for the rest of their lives. So, you know, I can take it a step further, not just guys like coming here, guys like living here.
Yeah. I mean, I could see why. There's so many different things up here. But the other thing is, when you look at it, why it's kind of confusing to me, and I ask, will the perception change? Is because you look at the Winter Classic that just passed this year between Boston and Montreal.
Yep.
NBC's ratings were down. Obviously, they competed with a lot of New Year's Six Bowl games this year.
Yes.
But one of the things they blamed was they said that because it was a Canadian team, it took away right away from their market share of ratings.
That's fair.
Which I think is fair, but at the same time, a lot of media stations will blame Canada when a Canadian team plays.
So right.
Our ratings are down because of Canada.
Right.
But I kind of feel that Toronto might be the city that can help ratings, actually. We have a lot of teams on the up and up.
Yeah. But in terms of what, though? Because a lot of American viewers growing up not knowing much about Toronto. And if their team is in the game, they're more likely to watch than if a team that, you know, they have no idea is playing in versus a team that's not even close to them is playing. You know what I mean?
No, that makes sense.
I mean, you'll get more viewership if you get fan bases, let's college football, say a Texas or an Ohio State. You'll get all Texas and most of South watching for Texas. And then you'll get Ohio and all the Midwest fans watching for Ohio State. And that, you know, kind of. So then when you add in Toronto, you know, you're getting nobody from a certain region against, you know, one region. So you're taking away a whole other revenue stream that you could be getting if you had an America team, you know what I mean? That, you know, the casual fan would have a rooting interest in.
Well, let's take the Blue Jays, for example. I mean, using blue bloods in college sports to compare is kind of difficult because they're blue bloods for a reason. They're going to draw anywhere. You could play them in China. They're going to get ratings.
Yeah.
That's just the way. Like, look at Texas this year. They played a game in China, and they drew ratings. Yeah. Like, it wasn't great, but they sold out the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Wait, China?
Yeah, they played in Shanghai, the basketball team.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious of something, though. Does anybody know the numbers of Detroit versus Toronto a few years back in Michigan?
Oh, broke records.
That was huge.
It was their highest viewed one.
So to the point of what you're saying, of the idea that, you know, it can be taken away from American viewership.
Right.
You can also go on the other end of it, though, and say this. You know, me and Chris had this conversation while you were off God knows where, Nitae.
But I had one show off.
That's right.
And you guys missed me.
No breaks.
No breaks. None. No breaks off. Me and Chris were talking.
God knows where.
Me and Chris were talking about it, and you know, this was a thing that I'm sure some people don't want to agree with, but it's the cold hard truth. The Montreal Canadiens are not as important as they like to think they are.
They're up there.
Outside of Montreal?
And if you've got a Toronto viewership, a Toronto-Detroit game in Michigan that broke records yet, you've got Montreal and Boston, a rivalry that is not only more spirited lately, but a rivalry you can make the argument is even older than Toronto Maple Leafs versus Detroit. Yeah.
Well, it's the best thing is,
one thing that the Toronto-Detroit game had going for it, you had that game in the big house. People just want to see like 100,000 people.
It was a spectacle.
It was a spectacle. You know, you had
and
that
Fenway
going
Park
for
is it.
It.
Or Gillette Stadium?
No, Gillette Stadium's not.
Fair enough. You can make that argument because it was
a lot going on with that game. It was a spectacle. You had the Michigan, you had the, you know, Detroit fans, you had Toronto fans, you had...
It just, strictly from TV ratings standpoint.
Yeah, you just had it's almost like a circus.
I kind of get the sense that, Nitae, you think Toronto as a whole, with all their sports teams, is more of a regional market as opposed to actually being able to stretch nationally. And the reason why I say this is because you look at the Jays, okay?
Yeah.
The back half of the season when they were winning games, obviously like Ryan's saying, winning helps. But they were pulling 5-6, which is extremely high in Canada for sports during the weekdays.
Yes.
Put them on Sunday Night Baseball, let's say.
Yeah.
I know there's TV issues to solve out between,
ESPN, Rogers, all that.
Who's making money, this, that, the other. But you don't think that people would tune in and watch the Jays on like a Sunday Night Baseball? Because there were certain points on Tuesday this year where ESPN Tuesday Night Baseball, the Jays, or ESPN Monday Night Baseball, the Jays were on there.
Yep.
You know, it's a weird thing with the Blue Jays where, you know, they don't suffer as much as, you know, people like to admit they do. It's because they play such a fun brand of baseball. You know, people can tune in and see bombs flying and they're like, okay, this seems kind of easy to watch, you know, fun to watch. They hit home runs, which everybody loves.
They're entertaining.
They're entertaining. So,
chicks dig the long ball, man. Yeah. That's so expression.
Right, exactly. So it'll almost be a case where if Golden State was the Toronto Raptors, you know, people would be tuning in and see what this team was all about. You know what I mean?
Well, so, I'd actually like to go back and look at the ratings when Vince Carter was playing. Yeah. And
yes, he was a spectacle. It's a similar thing. The exciting brand of basketball. Exciting. People can tune in and be like, oh my God, I'm going to see something special.
Who's getting dunked on today?
Exactly. And that's the thing with the Blue Jays. Like, who's going to hit the 500-foot bomb today?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's going to, you know, who's going to do something I've never seen before? And Blue Jays, you know, when they made that trade, they got Price, they got Tulowitzki, they got Revere. It was like, they're kind of the team to watch. All the pundits were saying this is the number one team in baseball.
Yep.
So you got all the viewers that, you know, actually care about baseball. I'm like, let me see what they're all
about. People are curious, yeah.
And it helps as well that guys who spent their entire careers playing in the States, you know, this isn't like DeMar DeRozan of the Raptors, where DeMar spent his entire career up here, or Kyle Lowry was an afterthought until he came to the Raptors. These are guys who made a complete career, all-star appearances, even making borderline cases to go to the Hall of Fame in American markets, in major American markets, winning in playoff games, doing all of these things while they're down in the States. And I think that just turned this into an even bigger juggernaut that the Jays ratings have gotten, and it made them so much more marketable to the United States market. Yeah. And on top of that, it's baseball. You know, it's you know, you can make the argument that obviously basketball has its roots as well. Baseball TV ratings have always been good. The attendance has always lacked in the stadiums.
No, I don't agree with that at all. Ratings, baseball TV.
The ratings during, or the regional ratings.
Local ratings.
Yeah, local, yes, yes.
Local nationally, ratings where they make their money.
Yeah, nationally, no.
Well, nationally, it's hard to commit to sit down for 3.5 hours in the dog days of summer when there's so many
just to watch
to
two teams that aren't even, and two
the
teams
thing
that
is,
may
people
not even
will tune in
for
like a game seven or, you know, a 5-game series, but when it's 162 games, it's like, wake me up when playoffs start.
Well, keep in mind, like, let's use Thursday Night Football, for example, which is notoriously a bad product. Those ratings dwarf the MLB playoffs. Uh-huh. Like, dwarf it. It's insane. So I kind of get where you guys are coming from with the whole MLB ratings and everything.
Yeah.
But to kind of tie it back to Toronto, I guess the vibe I get from you two is that the perception has started to change, but it will change more if the Raptors were to get another star player.
Yes. So and if they were to continue, and they have to win.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Winning a star player?
Winning and another star player. And how do you win more? By getting another star player. That's how the NBA works.
Okay. So here then, with this year, with two of the bigger star players available in hockey, one being Steven Stamkos, and the NBA, Kevin Durant, the Raptors and the Leafs both have a legitimate shot at getting one or the other, let's say.
Yeah.
What do you guys think the chances are that any of these superstars will come to Toronto in 2016?
I would say a higher for Stamkos.
Absolutely.
Just because this is home. Yeah. Every kid, you know, whether they like to admit it or not, dreams of playing for the Leafs and with their storied history. I'd say more Stamkos. Durant, yeah, he's hung out with Drake a couple times, and yeah, he'd be cool to be featured in some songs, but to be honest, I would say the chances of the Toronto Raptors getting him are pretty low.
I could see Durant enjoying himself more in another market.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, like, not a knock on Toronto, it's just being a Laker, let's just use the Lakers for example, is a lot more iconic than being a Raptor.
If he's going to leave OKC, he's going to go to a bigger market than OKC. He's not leaving OKC just to go to Milwaukee. He's leaving OKC to go to LA, Chicago.
Miami.
Something where marketing dollars can double or maybe even triple. He'd go even China if he was
the money was right. I think one thing that's really interesting about Durant that a lot of people forget, especially if they're trying to make this argument of him coming to Toronto, as well cultured as Durant can come off, and as you know, he's a smart guy. He seems like a pretty smart guy. He goes out there. He's got some pretty good endorsement deals with Nike. This is also a kid though that has never played north of Virginia in his entire basketball career. He's grown up in Washington. He went to school in Texas. He played 1 year in Seattle. That's the one exception. And then now he's at Oklahoma City. Do you think that even just the guy who's been surrounded as much as he has in his life, now don't get me wrong, he's done a lot of traveling, but in places that he's lived, this is a guy that's preferred and enjoyed the idea of living in a more quiet market. I guess you can make the argument. And it's hard to tell if, you know, Toronto would even be a right fit for him culturally.
I don't know. He's gone on
that's
there.
That's fair, but yeah. I don't think that's
Toronto.
Yeah. I don't think that's.
But it goes back to your idea of, like, you know, you've got a lot of guys that come up here and they love it so much that they live here.
We got guys from like Florida, California.
Yeah. There's also been players that have came to this city in all the sports, and are the other end of the spectrum where they go, I couldn't get out of here quick enough. Right.
And I think there's far less of those guys than guys that, you know, rave about the city and end up staying here.
I would hope so.
It is a different microscope here. Like, you are under the gun. We scrutinize and analyze all your moves. And as much as people, like, the stereotype of the Canadian market sets and starts and rises in Toronto and Westerners make fun of it, it's a stereotype for a reason. The media scrutiny, just everything in general, is a lot bigger here. Whether it be because of population, because of the media around, just whatever reason you want to point the finger at and say this is why it's more here, it doesn't change the fact that it is still more here.
Of course.
So I could get why some players don't like it. But at the same time, I mean, I think a guy like Durant would be able to handle it.
Yeah. No problem. I agree. It's just, I'm just trying to take a different look at it other than, like, you know, cap space and what he likes. Like, you know,
both teams can actually afford them when you look at cap space. I mean, the Raptors can afford to sign Durant.
They could.
The Leafs can afford to sign Stamkos. I mean, they'd have to get a little bit creative with some things, but they can more than afford to sign him.
Yeah. But and also, I guess it all ultimately determines what Durant is. Here's one thing that the Raptors can offer that the Lakers can't. You can win right now.
I mean, all he's got to go through in the East
Miami
is the Cavs.
Miami can offer that too, though. and they can offer better weather, more stable ownership and Pat Riley and Mickey.
Crappier fan base. Sorry, yeah, I said it.
No state tax.
And no state tax. Honestly, to be honest with you, with all things being equal, I'm taking that every time.
No state tax and all
that? No state tax, so more income, better weather in a winter sport. I'm taking that every time.
Miami fans are so spoiled.
Well, there's so many other things to do in Miami.
Think about the weather being warm outside and you got to go inside and watch a basketball game. Yeah, I'm going to be 15 minutes late and stay on the beach for a couple more minutes.
Well, look, you and I will probably be like 30 minutes late.
I want to go back to Miami, man. I haven't gone to Miami since I was like 13.
Never been. Been to Northern Florida many times, but.
Well, next week the TOT cast will be broadcasting live from Miami Beach.
That'd be amazing. Okay, so here then. Which team has the most to gain in 2016 with all the events that are taking place?
I would say the most to gain given all the events. Toronto Argonauts.
Really?
Absolutely have the most
to gain. Care to elaborate?
Well, new stadium. You hope that it can generate at least a little bit more interest in fans. It's for the first time in the Argos' history since they were playing at Exhibition Stadium back in the 80s, you might actually be able to tailgate. I think that actually creates a very real opportunity and brand new fan experience that I think a lot of football fans here in Toronto have been dying for. Mm-hmm. I think if they can turn that more into just as much of a spectacle as you know, Toronto Raptors are trying to make a spectacle of the NBA All-Star Weekend. Now imagine a smaller spectacle, it's a smaller scale, but a party and spectacle nonetheless in that exhibition parking lot every single time there's a TFC game and every single time there's an Argos game. You know, that's something that MLSC has been pushing hard for, to legalize alcohol so that they can tailgate in those parking lots at BMO Field.
Fan experience would just go way up dramatically.
And more people would want to come to that. Yeah. I guarantee you.
It'd be an event.
What more could you want, especially, and you know, even with the way that they would want to schedule out games. I haven't seen the schedule yet for the Argos, but you could imagine that they've tried to push for as many weekend dates as they possibly can. Right? Or Friday night football. I wouldn't mind checking out Friday. Me personally, I've only went to one Argos game in my life, but I wouldn't personally mind going to the parking lot on a Friday night, having a couple beers with my buddies, get a barbecue going, and then going in there and watching the Argos play. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind that at all. That actually would be a pretty good time.
Yeah, it would.
You know, I think them moving into BMO Field has given them the most to gain in this situation, because they've went from absolute obscurity where no one gives any kind of crap about them in general, for a lot of regular sports fans here in Toronto, to be able to turn into some sort of spectacle, because that's what they've been needing for the last 20 years.
Yeah. So that creates a buzz.
Yeah. So, Nate, what do you think?
No, I agree with you, Ryan. Toronto does have a lot to gain. And
is that the bias cat?
No, it's going to be phenomenal. But for me personally, I think the Leafs have the most to gain this year. I mean, potentially a chance to get Steven Stamkos, one of the game's best players, getting the Winter Classic at BMO Field would be huge. And then the team will be better next year. I mean, this coming year coming
Very
up.
True.
So, and they're already proven to be like a 500 and even better team. Like, think about what a bona fide superstar, what that's going to do. Another year under Babcock. I think it has the potential to be phenomenal, phenomenal times for Toronto Maple Leafs coming up. Chris?
I'm going to kind of piggyback on here what you're saying with the Leafs, and I'm going to agree with the Leafs. I mean, yes, the Jays have a lot to build on, so do the Raptors, but in terms of most to gain, this was the first year ever the Leafs weren't ranked on the world most valuable franchise in the NHL, according to Forbes. So I think with everything that's happening this year, bottom line wise for MLSC, they're going to look at this year as, hey, not only are we going to get back to the top of the list, we're going to make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. But on the ice, like you said, they got Stamkos. Look at some of the prospects that are going to come up. You got Nylander's probably going to come up. You got Mitch Marner. There's just a lot of guys that are going to start to come up and play in the system with Babcock that you're going to see not only the team change financially, but the on-ice product is going to get a lot better. Mm-hmm. And then you add in the fact that it's their 100th year anniversary. Toronto is going to do everything they can to make sure that you know it's their 100th anniversary, and hey, we are the Leafs, so deal with it. Everything's coming out of the bag. The Winter Classic, too, that's going to be probably the most expensive ticket in town if they get the game. I know Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are fighting pretty hard. They want the game as well.
Yeah.
But there's just so many things going on for the Leafs that they have so much to gain. This team has been a doormat for years, and they're slowly, slowly creeping out of not being this doormat that, how could they not have the most of the game? I mean,
best part about that outdoor game, the seats are going to be covered.
Yeah, actually, yeah. That's actually a good point. Well, what they got those portable seats they're putting in, the portable grandstands.
Yeah.
Like that will add to the experience.
Yeah. Yep. It's actually going to be, you know, it'll be the first time that if something were to happen, you know, the fans will be, it's going to be an outdoor experience. It'll be like watching a game in the dome with the dome open, which I think would actually have been pretty cool if they'd ever given it a thought.
Well, they could.
Almost like the old Dallas Cowboys stadium when they just had the middle open.
Yeah.
But
they know the story behind
that. Yeah. So God could watch the Cowboys play. Yeah. It's almost like that, but just more of the field exposed to the...
Yeah. And that's another great thing for the Argos. That's why I kind of reiterate that. I think and I get your points about the Toronto Maple Leafs having the most to gain. The thing about it, though, is that the Leafs are the Leafs. They're going to be big no matter what, right? If we're talking about people, a franchise that needs to gain something more than anything because they're actually on their last lifelines, mm-hmm. this is their final big push in Toronto, it's the Argos.
No, that's a really good point.
So I really feel like they, beyond belief, beyond anything, have the absolute most to gain this year and this season, walking into it with, you know, this is the first time that a major ownership group has really actually said this, and they know this is the big final push for them. And we're going to find out what happens. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be, I'm hoping it's going to be successful. I think this year is going to be a good year for the Argos. Because better than anything, they're actually a very competitive team too. Mm-hmm. They've been consistently making the playoffs the last 5 or 6 years. And even if they don't, you know, even if it doesn't work in the long run, which is something a lot of people are saying might happen, but...
I think that's more reflective of the league as a whole than it is about the Argos.
People have been saying the CFL's been on their last legs for about 25 years now. It's just,
it'll keep growing.
You know what I mean?
It's growing now. It's growing.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Growing
now. TSN put a bunch of money in it and a new TV deal.
And tell it to the six teams that have new stadiums. Like, don't give me that crap, you know?
Yeah, it's on the up and up.
What do you think, Nate, as somebody who plays in the league, is there something that you would suggest that, I guess, teams or even TSN or... just in general, something that would make the league more appealing to your casual fan? Is there anything?
Well, first, I know they're trying to do this, we have to appeal to the younger demographic. Right now, the average age of a CFL fan is over 50, and that's got to change, right? You see the run that the Blue Jays went on. It was the younger fans that were coming in and, you know, infusing life into the Rogers Center and, you know, bring that enthusiasm that the team kind of rallied around. So that's something that the Argos have to do first and foremost, and the league is looking into ways that they can do that. And I feel like if they can do that, you know, it's going to be, you know, a tremendous product.
It's interesting because I went to quite a few Blue Jays games down the stretch, mm-hmm. and the youth in the stadium was something that I'm sure all three of us noticed.
Absolutely.
It's apparent.
It was a lot of fun. There's a lot of beautiful people.
Well, another thing, too, is there's a lot of new money in Toronto where there's a lot of emerging jobs and young people moving downtown. It's kind of the thing to do right now,
right? It's true.
Live in a condo, live downtown, and you're going to want to go out and have a good time. So I could see how that would be one of the CFL's major targets is young people.
And despite the $12 beers at the Sky Dome when that was all going down. Yes, I said Sky Dome.
here.
it's still actually a cheaper option to go out and enjoy yourselves, have a good time with your friends in downtown Toronto. It's still a way more affordable option than a lot of the other things you're going to do. And I think that's one of the reasons why Toronto there's a lot of places like Los Angeles or Miami or New York where there is a lot of other things to do, but the fan base here is so great as well because it's still another affordable option of entertainment here compared to a lot of the other things you could do in Toronto.
It's true. I mean, you look at a lot of things going on around the city and...
unless you want to go to a Leafs game, of course.
Yeah. I can't. Tickets are still...
and they're only going to get worse once they get better.
I know.
These are the worst years.
Well, imagine what the Winter Classic tickets are going to go for next year. I think that would probably be like $500 a ticket starting.
I'm going to try to watch it from Lakeshore.
You might as well. I mean, they knocked down Ontario Place. Put some seats there.
How much time does it take to get a pilot license? Helicopter pilot license?
You got just park it up top. Yeah, it should be good.
That'd be a great way to do it.
I just can't imagine or fathom how much those tickets are going to be.
It's a scary thought.
But I can tell you one thing, it's going to be sold out.
Oh, 100%.
And it's going to be loud.
Yeah, it should be a really exciting year in Toronto sports for 2016. There's just an onslaught of things that are coming up, and I know I could probably speak for all three of us that I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
There's literally something for everybody, and this is the year for the sports fan in Toronto. I'm calling it. This is the year of the sports fan in Toronto. It's like too much happening.
You're going to see a lot of teams, I guess, futures changes here.
Right. Every team has, you know, exciting times. And pretty much every team in Toronto is a winning team right now and has, you know, something to look forward to. With that being said, the weekend is upon us. Ryan, you got anything interesting happening?
Well, I do have something very interesting
to ask.
I actually, I've got the honor of color commentating on the Orangeville A's of the National Basketball League of Canada. I'm going to be working alongside Kelsey Wright. We're going to be up in Orangeville on Sunday, January 10th, 3 p.m. London Lightning come to town, so Orangeville A's hoping to knock them off.
Can we watch that
on YouTube. That's live webcast on YouTube.
Where will we find it on YouTube? We just type in Orangeville A's?
Can you tweet out the link to your Twitter page?
Absolutely. At RyanGreco416. I can tweet out the link. I'll let you guys know when it's going to be happening. You can also always get caught up on the latest stuff with NBL Canada on their YouTube page. They've got all the games there. So also the live webcast there. And that's where I'm going to be working. So it's I'm going to be with them for the entire season. And it's an honor, a privilege, you know. And I wasn't even expecting it. So when they came and asked me, I was completely blown away that they even thought of me. So
yeah.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing, as you would say, Nate. It's a blessing.
Yeah, well, now that we're giving out shout-outs, I would love to give a shout-out to you know, the guys over at Target Training in Mississauga. You know, we have a bunch of guys in there right now training for combines and, you know, the next level of
friends
football,
of the show.
Friends of the show. You know, they'll be on the show really soon. You know, Jesse Corona, the head trainer there, is doing a great job with the guys. So, you know, I want to give a shout-out to him. And
the guru.
The guru. So, look out for a lot of great athletes coming out of the Target Training in Mississauga. You know, elite level guys. You know.
It's the best-kept secret in the Greater Toronto Area, but you'd be surprised at how many more people that I've talked to around both leagues, the NFL and CFL, are aware of it.
Yeah.
So, it's a very, very fast-growing place.
It's up and coming. Yeah.
Chris, closing thoughts?
Not much, man. I mean, just looking forward to doing the next one, and hope both of you guys enjoy your weekends. Ryan, you doing color commentary, and today just lifting weights, you know, curls for the girls, all that
getting
stuff.
Getting ready for the season, baby. Getting ready for the season.
And that just wraps up this edition of the TOT Cast. As always, I'm Ryan Greco. You can always be sure to reach me at RyanGreco416. You can always be sure to reach Nateya J at TEY11_. You can always be sure to reach Chris O'Kranitz at Chris O'Kranitz. You want to reach out to the show, reach us at Tip of the Tower. And always be sure to like our Facebook page. And of course, be sure to subscribe us on iTunes. Everybody have a safe and happy weekend. Good night.